Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why X and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. On this one, we have guest Abu Wizzal. He was a former manager in Stampede Wrestling. We talk about that. We talk about the Hart family and the Hart House and much, much more. That is coming up very, very soon. Hopefully, everybody's been very good out there. Hopefully, everybody is getting out, seeing some wrestling, or watching some wrestling on TV, finding something you enjoy, whether it be digging into the archives of wrestling history or watching something current or both, whatever. And hopefully you are enjoying some fine wrestling podcasts like this one and all the others on the WrestleCopia Network. Give me some feedback online and on social media. Tell me, what are your favorite wrestling podcasts? What do you dig? What are you listening to? Obviously you're listening to this, but besides this, what do you listen to? I have a handful that I like and that I listen to. But I'd like to hear what you listen to. And what other podcasts do you listen to? I don't know if you know this, but I have a couple other podcasts. I'm sure you do. I play the commercials here. I have a podcast called Listen to Their Screams, which is me and Ike Isis doing horror movies, talking about horror movies, reviewing horror movies, and talking about news. And then I have one called The Pinhead Pod, which is a Ramones history podcast. But what other podcasts do you listen to that are non-wrestling? So let me know. I'd like to have some feedback online on social media and have some discussions about this. So, all right, enough chit-chat. Let's get to it. What do you say? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have my interview with Abu Wizzal. So stick around.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Filsinger Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit FilsingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilsingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by Abu Wiesel. Abu, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? I can speak English, you know.
Wait a minute.
I've been in Canada a long time.
That's true.
I have to learn to speak English.
That is true. Of course, you, a stalwart of Stampede Wrestling for many years. But you were born in Beirut, correct?
I was. Well, I say Beirut, but I was born in a village.
Okay.
but yes, I immigrated to Canada with my family, of course, because I was only 10 years old.
Yeah.
And right to Calgary became, you know, so.
So what was that like? That's culturally very different.
Oh, hell yeah. Especially back in in the early 70s.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, up here, it'd be totally different, you know, because we really didn't. Canada didn't have no racism and stuff like that because there wasn't that many immigrants.
Yeah.
You know, so it was, Canada was great to grow up in. I tell you one thing though, I personally, with my family, got rejected service back in 1979 in a goddamn Minnesota.
What? Now tell me about this. What now?
Well, we were on our way to, there was two carloads from Calgary. You know, I was pretty young still then.
Yeah.
And it was, we drove down to Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have a lot of relatives there. We stopped at a place to eat and they wouldn't serve us. They kept saying, oh, we don't have that. We don't have that. And I'm like, really? Like, you know, and she says, we don't serve you. We don't want to serve you. All right, we left. We couldn't understand what the fuck is going on, But anyways, go ahead. Ask me whatever you want to ask me about Stampede Wrestling.
Unfortunately, that's a black mark on America. Yeah. Where it's still not completely gone, unfortunately. So you moved to Canada. How did you discover Stampede as a kid?
All right, I'll tell you how I discovered Stampede Wrestling. Well, it used to be on TV every Saturday afternoon.
Sure.
And, you know, and I just, you know, we would watch it. And when I was 12 years old, I went to my very first show. And then I loved it and went back and then eventually became friends with Ross Hart.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, right? I interviewed Ross a while back. Yeah, you guys became friends. You're around the same age. And so what did you just meet there at the shows?
No, we met at the shows, right? Uh-huh. We met at the show. And then I was amateur wrestling in junior high, and so was he.
Okay.
So we got to, you know, we got to know each other, and I started going down there, and then I started selling programs.
Yeah, he got you that job selling the programs, right? What was that like?
Ross was in charge of programs. We would sell a program for 50 cents, and we would get a nickel, something like that. And then we got in for free.
Well, you can't beat that as a kid.
No, so it was great and then eventually got to know them all. And then I even used to work the doors with Brett.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Brett talked about that about 2-3 months ago, you know, at one of his son's shows. And I looked, we were sitting out there. I said, Brett, do you remember that over there? He goes, yeah, when we used to hand out passouts, you and I. You know, so, yeah, like I said, I became good friends with, you know, and then, you know, because we had a family business and stuff like that, you know, and so anyways, I, you know, like started just, you know, going to wrestling, got to know them, you know, got to know Bruce. And then my neighbor across the alley, God rest his soul, Shane Bauer, a.k.a. Beef Wellington. Beef Wellington.
Yeah. Now you introduced him right to Ross and got him started.
So what do you want? He wanted to become in wrestling.
Yeah.
So, you know, I introduced him to Smith, actually.
Oh, Smith. Okay.
Yeah. And he trained for a while and then Smith abandoned, you know, the camp. You know, he had like 3 or 4 guys. And then This is before the Hart. They had before they started their camp. And then Stu said, "No, these guys are coming with us because you know didn't want to give it a bad reputation that his son ripped them off or whatever, right?"
Yeah.
So actually, Beef out of that very first camp, three guys came out of there. Beef, Jeff Wheeler, and Ken Johnson. Ken Johnson's still around, but the only person that got full time employment was Beef.
Yeah, he was he was a mainstay there in Calgary for many years. And when you were kids and you're right, friends with Ross and knowing the family, how often did you get to visit the Hart house?
At least two or three times a month.
Yeah. So what was that like? Tell us about the house.
Oh, the house was amazing. Lots of old furniture, carpets, a commercial kitchen. When Stu used to have barbecue chicken, he had a rotisserie from Swiss Chalet outside on his porch.
Oh.
And he would do like 30 chickens.
Well, he had to feed that family.
You know, like, I'm not kidding. Anytime there could be at least 20 to 30 people living, for dinner there.
Yeah.
And Stu, like I say, he loved to feed people. And, so I was up at, then now you want to know how did I get into wrestling?
Right. Yeah. I mean, what I heard was that Bruce approached you, right? Yes. And that you were kind of caught off guard and surprised. Tell us about that.
At that time, I was smart, but not really smart. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was standing there watching, and then Bruce came down and said, "Hey, Vlad, how's it going?" And he says, "You ever thought about getting into this?" And I'm like, "Well, fuck, look at me, man. I'm very small." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he goes, "No, I got some plans for you." And then I started talking to more and more Bruce, and Bruce trained me. Bruce broke me in. Bruce was a fucking genius.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, I've talked to Bruce several times, and he's got a great mind. What did your training involve, Craig? Because you were going to use you as a manager. So what was he teaching you?
I'll tell you something. It was not really no training. I was just they say go up to the house and learn how to take some bumps. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was time for me, to come in, right? So Bruce told me wear a suit, sunglasses, and I want you to stand right here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Don't move. I did that for 6 weeks.
Yeah, they were kind of having you stand back, kind of in the back, right by the dressing room and stuff. And
yeah,
by the dressing room. Until fans started noticing you.
There was a barricade between, right?
Yeah.
And then, the crowd goes, "Well, who is this guy? What's going on? Why is he standing there?" And then after a while, the heels would go by and they'd give me thumbs up and smile. Then the baby faces would go by and give me the fist like Bruce wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it was time for me. They came to me. They had a show just outside of Calgary. And Ross says, "We want you to come to Bicycler." I said, "Yeah, no problem." Because it's only like a 45-minute drive. And they came and told me, I was in a dressing room that I was going to be involved in the finish. Now, I've never worked with anybody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, it was Owen against the great Jerry Morrow, the Champagne Man.
Champagne, yeah.
So, I'm nervous as hell, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Ross told me and Owen told me exactly what to do, how they wanted it done. And Ross goes, "Yes, and this is your big test." I said, "All right." So, and the finish was, I started, Owen, I interfered once and Owen looked at me and then all of a sudden Owen came out and I ran around, right? Mm-hmm. And then the referee started to count. As Owen was ready to climb back in the ring to beat the count, I grabbed his legs.
Oh, yeah.
And Owen, Ross and Owen told me, don't let go. Do not let go. So, fuck, I legged over him. I had him, you know, and now it's, you know, he was counted out. Now he had to jump. The thing was to jump Jerry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I wouldn't let go. And it's going, Malad, let go. Malad, let go. I didn't even have a name then.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, yeah. Goes, Malad, let go, let go. I fucking let go, you know. Then that following Friday, they said, okay, we're going to make you, today you're going to make your TV debut.
Yeah, right. That was in 87, right? And instantly, yeah. When you're on TV, you're instantly kind of like the center of attention.
Yeah, right. You know, and then, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, I didn't have a name. So, you know, Waylon goes to Bruce, what don't I call him? What the hell is his name? And Bruce said, well, I have a name. I'm going to call him Abu Nidal.
Yeah,
Nidal. Have you ever heard of that guy?
Well, he's a known terrorist, right?
Yeah, he's one of the first known terrorists.
Yeah.
Ed Whelan just fucking freaked.
Yeah, I bet.
Said, are you out of your fucking mind? My wife is Jewish. So he goes, okay, we'll call that movie Saul.
Yeah.
So, and then I had a fucking major fucking finish. My very first time the second time I was on TV. Major fucking, I'll never forget, man, I was nervous as fuck. And I remember Stu taking me apart, taking me to the side. He goes, hey, God damn it. You were such a good kid till that fucking Bruce corrupted you. And I said, and he goes, if you're here to glorify that fucking son of mine, I'm going to strangle you. I'm like, oh, fuck, great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the finish was, I had to throw coffee in Bruce's face.
Okay.
And I was like, so I had the coffee by the, you know, by the timekeepers. And then here I hear Willen, if he gets any coffee on me, I'm going to sue him. I'm like, oh, great. Stu wants to fucking strangle me. He wants to fucking sue me. Good thing it didn't happen because Honey, remember, you've heard of Miss Honey.
Yep. Yep. Of course.
She drank the fucking coffee.
No way. So before you threw it on Bruce, she had drank it.
She drank the coffee.
Okay, so what'd you do for
like,
the finish?
I'm sitting there because Bruce told me, he goes, I want you to, you know, like, because the coffee was cold. He goes, I want you to, like, you know, pretend, you know, you blow on it and take a small sip and say, wow, is it ever hot? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
to
right.
To show the people that it's hot. Fuck. Fucking Honey drank the fucking thing. Fucking when the time came. I had no fucking coffee to throw. And then fucking Bruce is standing in the ring. He goes, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on? Went back there and said, fuck, she drank the coffee. What do you want me to do?
Oh, you know? Man. Only in wrestling.
Yeah. Like, you know, I remember the first time I was on camera, I'm like, I'm standing there. I go, fuck, I've arrived.
Yeah.
You know, I've arrived. You know what I mean? Because.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up watching it, you know, everybody sure. Fucking dreamed, the kids, you know, fuck, for the longest time, man, I was over, like, fuck, I couldn't go anywhere, people would recognize me everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, like, one time, we had a high school show in the afternoon, it was at my old high school, and no kidding, there was over 1,000 kids in that gymnasium, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was chanting PLO, PLO, because while there was a lot of Lebanese students in that school,
uh-huh.
It just happened to be that way. And then Phil LaFleur, a great guy, he was putting me over like $1 million. He got thrown out. I'll never forget that fucking mucka, Mike Shaw. I was so much heat. And he fucking looks at me. He goes, you little fucking prick, leave us some heat.
Well, that's the thing, man. So many, you know, Crotchy Vice was such a great group. And Mock and Sink, man, so many people that know Bastian Booger or Norman the Lunatic, man, they don't realize how fucking good a worker Mike Shaw was.
Mike Shaw was, he was like, he knew psychology. He was, Like, and he was fucking hilarious. He was fucking funnier than all hell.
Yeah.
He was funnier than, like, fuck, the guy, he reminded me of John Candy.
Yeah.
I have a nickname in the dressing room. And to this day, my great friend, the great Gamma Singh, still calls me by my nickname.
What's
not
that?
Abu. Not Abu. I'll tell you, you know, so the first time I went in a dressing room, and I went around and I introduced myself. Hi, my name's Malad. Hi, my name's Malad. Da, da, da. I get to Mike. And him and Gamma had their own section in the dressing room, right?
Uh-huh.
And then walked up to Gamma. Hi, Gamma. My name's Malad. He goes, yeah, I've seen you around. You know, da, da. I go to Mike. Hi, Mike. I'm Malad. He goes, no, you're Louie. I go, Louie it is.
Where did he get that?
So he goes, so he, you know, so Gamma goes, Mike, his name is Malad. Why Louie? He goes, well, look at him. Doesn't he look like Louie from Taxi?
Oh, okay.
Remember the show Taxi?
I do. Yeah, yeah.
Louie, you know, because I was wearing a suit. Uh-huh. I'm short, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
You know, and it's, you know, it's still to this day, Gamma calls me Louie.
Man, yeah, Mocking, man, his matches, I mean, his matches with Owen were great.
Oh, fuck, of the fucking, I've seen him fucking create, you know, riots. You know, Stu used to do guaranteed shows on reservations.
Yeah.
You know, Indian reserves.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or natives, I don't know, or indigenous. I don't know what they are today, but, you know.
Yeah.
And, Mike was working with Steve. I'm laughing because it was so fun. Mike was working with Steve DeSalvo, and uh-huh. and he was the main event. And the chief was sitting in the front, you know, all decked out in his feathers and tomahawks or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he was dressed to the nines.
Yeah,
the guy had a really bad acne problems. And Mike was, you know, they're sitting there, you know, he's got an arm of DeSalvo, and he's going, looked at the fucking chief, and he goes, that just proves it to me, your mother fucked a buffalo.
Jeez.
Fuck me.
Oh, wow.
Now the fucking guy's going nuts, because the guy's like fucking 3 feet away from me. No barriers or nothing.
Yeah.
By now, Steve DeSalvo had his fucking head buried in the fucking mat, laughing his head off. And Mike goes, it's the 80s. You can get something for those fucking zits. And oh, fuck it. I'm sitting there, Mike, gay babe. They're fucking behind me.
Yeah. You know?
He wasn't very well liked. He really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was known as the company stooge for here.
Yeah.
You know, but it was okay. You know what I mean? Like, and then towards the end, like, I worked with Harley Race. I worked with Don Morocco.
Yeah.
The
Bulldogs.
The worst guy I didn't like was Corporal Kushner.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, did he have a little bit of an ego about him?
Oh, fuck. He was fucking crazy. He was nuts. And, fuck. I worked with Benoit quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
As when I knew Chris was a great guy. Chris was an amazing guy. Chris was compassionate. Every time after a match, he'd come to me right away. He goes, everything okay? Did I stiff you? No, everything's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when I heard about that, I was devastated because it was hard to believe that Benoit could actually do that.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And Gary Albright was a great fucking bro. He was a great friend.
Yeah.
I loved Gary. You know, he was gone way too soon.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the issues with Ed Whalen, right, with the name originally. Did you ever have any other issues with Ed? Because Ed was known to...
Ed loved me.
Not okay.
He hated Bruce. I remember one time he came in the dressing room. And because he used to have a meeting before the show, before he goes out there to start the show, right?
Uh-huh.
And one show, he said to, he looked at Bruce, he goes, I mean it. No fucking nut shots. No blood. So, what is fucking Bruce does? Nut shots and fucking juicing like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He came storming into the dressing room and he goes, Fuck you, Bruce. Up your ass, Pillman. What the fuck? Hey, kiddo, great job. Fuck you, Bruce.
Well,
he's a great guy. If, to me, he was awesome. I did a lot of charity work with him here in Calgary.
Yeah. Tell us about, because everybody's heard about the British Bulldog splitting, right, in Calgary, there towards the end of the run, and Ed not wanting it shown on TV. What was the deal with that? Because Dynamite turned heel. But Ed, everybody says that Ed loved the Bulldogs and didn't want it aired. So he got it nixed off TV. So what was going on?
No. It wasn't that. It wasn't. We missed a lot of the stuff on TV because of that fucking asshole, Fred May. He was Fred May. He was the producer.
Okay.
Like it was all his equipment, everything. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ed finally said, no, fuck, I don't want to do it. Cause he was with the Flames and you know what I mean? They were doing,
yep,
they sure started televising a lot of Flames games.
Yep.
So he was missing a lot of the shows and like a lot of the stuff that wasn't shown. We had to go down. I wish I could find the video, but I just can't find it. Where we went down, we've never done it before, where we went down before we were going to go on a road and did interviews in the dressing room. There was one. If I find it, I'll send it to you, okay?
Oh, okay, sure.
It was in the dressing room, you know what uh-huh. I mean?
Okay.
And there was Benoit in there. There was Beef Wellington, Ron Ritchie. We had to, because they fucked up the fucking interviews and the angles, so they had to try to revive it, you know? And then, Larry Cameron didn't work with his shit. He goes like an undefeated streak, like Goldberg.
Uh huh. Right. Yeah.
You know, beat Davey, beat Owen, beat everybody.
Yeah.
Then he wrestles Bruce 2 out of 3, and Bruce beats him in the first fucking 3 minutes of the match. Both falls. Now, who's gonna believe that?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, and then then it just Don Morocco came up, Harley Race.
Yep.
You know, Dynamite was bringing those guys in because Dynamite was the booker.
Sure, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Barry O.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he passed away, actually.
Mm, yeah, I think so.
You know?
Yeah.
Hell, man, out of the 16 guys that I traveled with, I think there's only 6 of us left.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys no longer with us.
Cuban Assassin's had, like, I don't know, multiple fucking strokes, but he's still going.
Yeah. Yeah, so
still drinks 6-pack of beer a day, no problem.
That's yeah. So when Stampede shut down in 89, that first shutdown,
yeah,
what happened? What did you know and what was told to you when it all went down?
Well, they were losing money, like, hand over fist. The check started bouncing. And it was, that's it. Stu came in, he says, that's it, we're done, guys. This is our last show. And then that Fred May guy, him and Frank Sisson, picked it up. They tried it out for about a year or so, and it lost money, and that was it. Then wrestling died, as we all know it, in Calgary.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, numerous people.
That was like 1990, 91.
Yeah, I mean, numerous people have tried here and there, but it's never lasted. Never.
Like stuck. Right now, there's a... Quiggy from Edmonton, he runs shows like twice a month here in Calgary.
Yeah.
He draws about a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
You know, like, but there's like, in Edmonton, there's like 4 or 5 promotions.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't enough people to go around, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, and prior to you and Stampede, J.R. Foley was one of the previous top managers of Stampede for many years.
Yes.
Did you ever learn from him by watching? Because I watched him,
and I used to talk to him a lot, because when I came in, he was already retired, and I knew where he hung out, and I would go talk to him. You know, the guy was a great fucking worker. To work as a wrestler, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But alcohol got to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Davey was great.
Yeah.
Dynamite was, if he liked you, you're in. If he didn't like you, he made your life miserable.
Yeah, I think that was everywhere he went. Yeah, Foley's stuff with Dynamite was great. I mean, when he managed Dynamite, that was, I mean, that's.
Oh, that was classic. That was classic wrestling, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the angles that Dynamite and Gamma had, or Bruce and Gamma had, fuck. Gamma was one of the most hated fucking people in the city.
Yep. Yep.
Like, Gamma had to worry about his life.
Yeah. Right.
And he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a couple of guys there, here and there, but who did you most enjoy working with during your time in Stampede?
Jerry Morrow.
Yeah? Okay. Tell us more.
Jerry Morrow and Cuban Assassin.
Okay.
I enjoyed working quite a bit with everybody, you know what I mean? Like managing, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Johnny Smith... he was great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. I used to get fined a lot because I would hang around with the baby faces like Benoit, Wellington, you know, and they didn't, I used to get fined $50 fuck every time I got busted.
Oh,
that was a lot of money back then, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever counter, I mean, Bad News Allen, or was he completely gone by the time you were around?
No, Bad News. I love Bad News. I miss him. Like, Bad News was great. I worked with Bad News. I was his manager.
Tell us, after Stampede, did you work for any other promotions around in the area?
Yeah, I did. You know, like whoever would call, you know, but it wasn't worth it, man. Like, you know, they want you to fucking go like down east. You know, like I'd worked for Devin. You know, Hannibal.
Right. Yeah. Uh huh.
Hannibal was good, you know what I mean? He'd fly me in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, the money, it's just because I had a, you know, like, I have a had a family. I needed, you know, I had a full-time job, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, like, I did not make money in the wrestling business, but I had a lifetime of memories and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. And you mentioned working in the DMV and different things. Did you ever get recognized while at your shoot job?
I had to quit my job because I was being recognized, right? And then I became full time, right? With the crew.
Yeah.
But we didn't make big money. Fuck. I asked Gamma, right? I asked Gamma. Actually, not too long ago, I said, Gamma, what's the most you ever made in 1 week?
Mm-hmm.
Working for Stu, he goes, I made $1,500 when I had that run with Dynamite, and we had two shows at the Corral.
Okay.
David Schultz, Dr. D, was making that in the 70s in Calgary.
Yeah, right.
Look, you talk to Stu now, you can't, but if you would ever ask Stu and say, hey, Stu, who made you the most money? He'll tell you. Bad News Allen, Dynamite Kid, Abdullah the Butcher, the Stomper.
Yep.
And, fuck, who's the other guy? You know, Abdullah made him a lot of money.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, yeah.
So, you know, like, but they still used to bring in big names during the Stampede. Bockwinkle, Harley Race, you know.
Andre.
Prime.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what's Abu Wee's all up to these days?
Actually, I just retired.
Yeah, all right.
I just retired back in... Christmas of this year, of 24. Not doing much. I don't know what I'm going to do. I definitely will be going to CAC. I've been going to it now for the last 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, you see some guys, you know, from the...
I saw a lot of guys, you know, that I, you know, like I... I saw Rip Rogers.
Great.
Rip Rogers was great when he was up here.
Yeah, Rip, I'm originally from Indiana, and Rip, Rip's from
a Seymour. Town,
yeah, Seymour, which is about 5 minutes from where I was from. And so I've known Rip for a long time. Rip's a great guy. And a lot of people, I don't know whether, you know, may not realize or don't remember, he had a hell of a run in Stampede.
He had a hell of a run, but you know what, though? He's fucking penniless, the poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It is. It's just, I mean, he started a GoFundMe for himself. I saw that, you know, he's on my Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I then Duke Myers, I saw Duke Myers.
Yeah.
But he passed away since then.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, like, I mean, I like to go there, you know, like I usually hang out with the Steve Rivers, you know, and some guys from the Maritimes, you know, like, so it's like, you know, it was, it's getting that, it's not as good as it used to be, you know, like a lot of people are not going like they used to.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so, yeah, but no, like I say, Stampede Wrestling was a stable in the city and in Edmonton also, because we were in Edmonton every Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people overlook those last few years, but man, there was some really good stuff in those last few years.
It was, you know, like I don't know what happened, but Stu and Helen were losing a lot of money, and I mean losing a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, the landscape of wrestling in general was changing, and
and then Davey and Dynamite, you know, they went to Japan for a bit, and then Dynamite got sick, and then I mean, what did he expect him? Like Davey, you know, like he had a family he had to support, you know,
yeah,
and then he went back to New York,
yep,
and you know, like then his life fell apart, man. That fucking guy's life, like he, you know,
yeah.
But, you know, by then, Tommy went back to England and never looked back, never came back or anything.
Yeah.
And he died there. You know what I mean? And I was one of the last people he ever saw in Calgary.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, like, but, you know, I want to talk about Bruce, man. That guy was a genius. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the stuff that they're doing right now, right?
Yeah.
If Bruce fucking was doing it back in the 80s.
Yeah. And, you know, I know Bruce is a divisive character among a lot of people but there's a lot of modern wrestling that Bruce was responsible for. There was a lot of that success in the revival of Stampede that Bruce is responsible for. I mean, you know, the bringing in of, you know, of Dynamite and those guys in the early 80s, that's Bruce.
Well, yeah, and, no, like Bruce was the booker. You know what I mean? Stu had a lot of different bookers. He had Leo Burke as a booker. The Cuban Assassin was a booker.
Yep.
They had a lot of bookers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then Bruce took over the book and never relinquished it till the end when Keith took over.
Yeah, and bringing Dynamite over to North America. I mean,
you should have seen when those five guys first came here. They were like 15-year-old guys.
I know it, but that changed the course of wrestling. And
have you seen Tommy's?
Yeah, his nephews.
Nephew?
Yeah, yeah, the ones on TV.
That's how Tommy exactly looked like, with long hair and everything.
I know it. Yeah, I actually spoke with him once before, and I told him, I said, "Gosh, it's scary how much you look like a young Dynamite." And it's pretty eerie to see him. And I heard that, I think they're, if I'm remembering right, didn't their dad pass away not too long ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy's brother.
His dad was living here, Mark, actually, when him and Tommy went back.
Yeah.
You know, Mark was a good guy. He was going to come to Calgary, actually.
Yeah.
But he never made it.
Yeah.
To see his kids wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, his kid, I guess, is doing really well. I don't watch wrestling anymore. I would refuse to watch WWE. Refuse to watch it. I will not watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't watch a whole lot. But, yeah, I know his, you know, Dynamite's nephew, has been on AEW, that promotion for on national.
I heard that he signed a 2-3 year deal there.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not, he's doing his thing, and he gets on there, and he's.
He told me, he said, "My dad talked a lot about you and Jerry." And then I said, "You need to get on the juice like your uncle did." And he goes, no.
Yeah. You know?
But
Well, and in the near future, as I dive back into our my Stampede 88 deep dive soon, you're going to be joining me on those
all right.
shows and providing, you know, because you were there at that time. So it's kind of a unique perspective that when,
For
as you know,
sure.
as I talk about it, you'll get to tell me firsthand some of this stuff. So it's going to be fun, and I just got to know, are you looking forward to that and
I'm looking
diving into
forward
those
to it.
next.
Just get, you know how to get a hold of me.
I do, yeah. And I'm looking for, I do some of these deep dives, but it's gonna be nice having someone that was there
I was
and
there.
yeah, it can
And
provide me
I'll
some of
like, you
that
know
insight.
what? I'll even talk to Gamma when he's back from Puerto Rico, if
Yeah.
he will do it, okay?
Oh, sounds great, yeah.
You
So
know?
yeah, like I said, you've got, you know, some free time on your hands, you're doing CAC and whatever else. Is there a way, if fans want to follow you on social media, do you have a way for them to get in touch with
No,
you
you
if
know what?
they?
I only have Facebook. That's it, man.
Okay. Are fans free
Yeah.
to look you up on Facebook and reach out?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
All
So,
right, for sure. It was great talking to you.
it was you
Keep
too.
in
Like,
touch.
hey, you bums, we have to take a quick break.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to the Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guys for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network? Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at Rassling Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade? So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
Hey, it's Bob Smith, and guess what? The outdated Wrestling Hour is now part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. But hey, no fear, you're still going to hear the unique guests, comedy, music, authors, journalists, funny people. Who knows who's going to end up on the outdated Wrestling Hour? Remember, it's all new and all old. So check it out in the WrestleCopia Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts. Listen if you know what's good for you.
Hey everybody, Gene Jackson here, inviting you to check out the Retro Wrestling Review, where each week I'm joined by some great co-hosts who help me review classic episodes of USWA Championship Wrestling, and right now we are doing week-by-week reviews of 1993. But we don't just do reviews, sometimes we get a chance to interview some of the people who were there and lived it, plus do watch-alongs. It's a lot of fun, so check out new episodes that drop every Wednesday at WrestleCopia.com. And to find links to everything associated to the podcast, you can go to uswapodcast.com.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right. Thank you to Abu for coming on and doing that interview. What a fun guy. Again, he'll be on the show in the future, joining me for those Stampede Wrestling 1988 deep dive episodes. It's going to add a whole new layer to have someone who was there, active, on the shows, doing, you know, traveling the road, doing the thing, as Randy Savage used to say, So it's going to add a whole new dimension to those shows. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media. You can find me on pretty much all the platforms. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty on all those platforms. Also, go make sure you check out all the other WrestleCopia Network podcasts. The shows are all fun, and they all shine a light on wrestling history. Have great hosts, great guest co-hosts, great topics. They're always entertaining and everything else. So go check them out. You can look them up on your favorite podcast platform or go to WrestleCopia.com for your central hub for all things WrestleCopia. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to ClassicWrestling.net and sign up. It's very, very affordable, and for the amount of wrestling content, classic wrestling content, excuse me, it is such a bargain. So go to ClassicWrestling.net to sign up, and then you can download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your smart devices to listen to, or excuse me, to watch it anywhere. So next episode, my guest will be Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. We talk about the State Patrol, the Power Plant, WCW, and much more. So you'll want to tune into that next episode. Guys, thank you once again for listening. Please rate and review the show on your favorite podcast platform if you have not done so already. Please tell a friend. Please leave a comment on social media posts. Please share. Keep the interactions going. Keep this network growing. You know, the web is out there, and it keeps expanding, but it can only do that if you guys help me. So, guys, until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia is copyright Dave Dynasty. Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.